This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Check it here. He's jacked, too. Yeah. I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
He's got it to add to the running yard total here. McCaffrey first down sideline. McCaffrey's longest run of the year. All the way down to the 23-yard line.
Watch this move inside the hole to get back outside. A little juke there, and he's on his way. McCaffrey, goodness gracious, if he gets running the football, no telling what this offense could be.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Damn Stanford people. Stanford guys, Christian McCaffrey.
They're all so athletic.
They're handsome.
And smart.
Yeah. They're likable. Yeah. That makes me not like him. You know what I mean?
We're talking about McCaffrey here, right? Not Nico.
Go ahead, Lawrence. Bring Nico.
Wow, that is rough. Nico Hoerner plays second base for your Chicago Cubs. He also was at the Bears 49ers game, and now apparently looks like he is getting ready to face a firing squad on Twitch and on YouTube with the background that he chose today. He joins us now the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Look at this postseason flow that
What's
he's
up,
got
guys?
Going on. What's
what up,
Nico?
Nico, the offseason hair is in full effect. It's bulbous.
Yeah, you got me mid workout. You actually got a nice look at. I know we like to see where I'm at all times. Right now, This is where I am, and then this is where I do my sprints, my med ball stuff during the season. It's kind of, not the sexiest, but it's under the highway and it has a great wall. So, yeah.
All right, well, good, and that makes sense. And we are lucky to have you as a correspondent. What made you decide that you wanted to go to the game?
I mean, two great teams. I'm a nice bandwagon Bears fan, so I'm enjoying a really fun season, and I do enjoy watching Christian McCaffrey, but I was definitely rooting for the Bears last night.
Oh, see, you answered the key question. Like, you know, that's yeah. We've been thinking about it. Bay Area native, but Chicagoan now for what, 7 years?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up a Raiders fan, so you're not supposed to like the 49ers.
There you go.
So, yeah, it was awesome. It was so fun. Chaos everywhere, as you guys know, and I'm sure I've covered all day long. But, yeah, that was a treat.
What you know what I love about being at football games, Nico, as opposed to being at baseball games? It's like when you feel the momentum switch, you feel the energy, it undeniably has an effect on the players in the game in a football game. Like in baseball, we think it does, and maybe every once in a while it does, but in football, that stuff is undeniable, isn't it? You can feel the game swing from the stands, couldn't you, last night?
Yeah, absolutely. And even though the Bears were playing so well all game, keeping up, it really felt like the Niners game to have Ellis just in there. And maybe that's just a part of being in someone's home stadium. But then in the fourth quarter, when they got them to punt on the 4th-and-7, that was like, oh, this is real. but no, it was so much fun. Good banter all day long. Bears fans should know they had a proud showing in Santa Clara last night. A lot of good talk.
Tell us more about that. Were you representing Bears colors? What was the banter that was going on as well?
No, I was in all black. I actually came straight from the airport. But I feel like the most banter happens in the men's bathroom line and then in the bathroom. That's usually what brings out the best or the worst in people. It's kind of the tipping point, you know, a lot of forced interaction and close quarters. And it was all in good spirits, though.
So Nico,
I was more of a fly on the wall. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about that because as a baseball player, there is the opportunity to blend in. Like Nico's not small. Like, he's 6 feet and he's handsome, but he also kind of looks like a guy that you might see walking around in Santa Clara. Whereas like if I don't know, like pick a basketball player. If Vooch went to a Bears game, you'd know it was Vooch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if Montez Sweat walked into the Cubs game, you go, who's that giant man who looks like Montez Sweat, right? So with you being someone that plays professionally, what's it like for you to sit in the anonymity of you don't have your uniform or your cap on and you're just chilling?
It's great. I love being around just like the total emotional, irrational responses of fans and like that are around the swing of the game and just throwing nonsense out there to try and help the team. And it's really fun and it feels good. And it's fun to walk out of the stadium in the crowd and people talking about the game and being a part of that buzz. And I would love to sit and watch a couple of Cubs games every year, you know, it'd be great. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Because this is when you're supposed to throw out random stuff, you know, and just like, like your worst thoughts, whatever your worst thoughts are, just let them fly.
Yep. You've worked all week and it's a safe space. Just go.
Did you have any interaction with Christian McCaffrey at all at Stanford?
No, I don't know him personally. There was some friends of mine who were close with him, but always admired him from afar and was so lucky to watch him play college football for a couple years, and they were good. They won a Rose Bowl when we were there, and he's a stud and a really well likable guy.
So did you think the Bears were going to win that game when they got the ball with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left? Were you thinking Bears win?
Yeah, I would have bet they would win. Not that like necessarily makes sense, but what it just felt like was they were going to make it happen, especially with just like the big plays that they'd been able to pull off all game. And man, the hook and ladder was just so fun and bold, and you can analyze it a million directions, but it was the kind of thing that, like, you couldn't believe it was happening in full speed. I thought it was going in for sure.
Well, what did you think about it? You loved the boldness of doing it? Yeah, because Caleb said after the game that his coach plays to win, and that's the way I played too. Like, they totally went for it, and it cost them some seconds, but I kind of loved it too.
Oh, 100%. They had their running back with the ball full speed, 4 yards from the end zone. Like, it's a pretty good look. And, you know, maybe he could have spiked the play after when they weren't lined up, or they could have ran out of bounds, or a million things within it. But I feel like they gave themselves a great chance to win. And they're on the road. You go for the wins. It's awesome.
When we talk to you during baseball season, by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Nico Horner,
our new Bears correspondent. Congratulations, right. Nico. You've done a great job so far.
He was at Bears 49ers last night. But during the season, you talk about throwing angles of your own or Dansby's or PCA's like all the time. I wonder, as a baseball player, what you think of the type of angles that you see Caleb Williams employ to make throws.
It's unbelievable. The flat-footed and cross-body stuff that he does is crazy. It really looks like a shortstop, and obviously I see things through that lens, just kind of what I do and get to be around a lot. But yeah, it's unbelievable. The flat-footed throw, like 40 yards, 50 yards, early in the game was incredible. It just looks so easy, and he's amazing to watch.
Is there anything? I mean, is there anything more difficult in sports than to be the quarterback of an NFL team?
Yeah, and it's the once a week nature is so hard. I mean, because whatever happens is analyzed nonstop for 6 days. You don't get to go do it again the next day or day after, like us in the NBA. And you so much carry the weight of an entire group of people. And I feel like it's an interesting point in the NFL as far as analyzing quarterbacks, right? It's so much got fluctuation right now, game to game and year to year. And it's so cool to see how much he's improved in a year.
Have you talked with PCA at all? Because he's been on the Bears sidelines the last couple of weeks, even in that on that game where it was crazy snow and super cold.
Yeah, Pete's got a couple wins and I got a loss, so I guess stay out of the way. But carry the good vibes. I could maybe should have been on the gram a little more and made my presence known. I don't know, but yeah, Pete's great. I've been talking to him. He's been getting to be in Chicago in the offseason, which I'm so happy for him. It's a great thing to get to do, be totally away from the in-season headspace and appreciate everything the city has to offer. So, yeah, I'm going to see him in Arizona next week.
You'll find this interesting and probably fun and funny because I know we did. So I host the Patrick Manley Awards. That's the best long snapper in college football. Our buddy Patrick Manley has been doing the award for, 7 years now? And they did a tour of Wrigley with the three finalists of the awards. The guy who ended up winning is the long snapper for the University of Georgia. His name is Bo Gardner. They're walking through, and they're walking through Wrigley, and they got a great tour. And they go, there's a guy there, and he's just there, like, hitting off a tee. And Bo is like, hey, are you a player? And he's like, yes, I'm Pete. Pete was here on, like, the coldest week that we've had, like, inside getting his work in. So you're right. Like the idea of spending an off season in Chicago, I love it that now where 12 years ago, 15 years ago, that would have never been an afterthought for a Cubs player. The fact that you guys can do that now and Pete's embraced it is really cool.
It is. It is. And I think like for Cubs fans, it makes you appreciate those summer days and taking the field at Wrigley with it all filled. And when you're there in the winter and it's cold and, you know, baseball is the furthest thing on your mind. I think it's kind of cool to go through the full seasons of Chicago like everyone does.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Nico Horner's with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. The Cubs convention is upcoming. The Bears will have a home playoff game the weekend of January 9th. The weekend of January 16th will be the Cubs convention. If they win their first home playoff game, they will likely have a second home playoff game the weekend of Cubs convention. What would this town be like if those two things converged? That would be fun.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to be there for that. I know they got the 10-year reunion and stuff, but I don't think people's minds going to be too much on Cubs convention that weekend. And that's how it should be. It's football season. It's awesome.
Oh, God.
That would be so fun to go. Oh, my God.
I'm imagining the 10-year reunion of the 2016 Cubs and then all you guys of the 2026 Cubs.
And then the Cubs having the Bears having an opportunity to go to the NFC title game.
Right. And like how many Cubs players can you fit in a suite?
I think we would find out. I think we would find out.
Couple suites and nice party. That'd be amazing.
Oh, my God. So you will be at the Cubs convention. Right?
Yes. Yep.
That's good.
That is expected of us.
All right.
Well,
good. Just so you know, Nico, we've declared if for some reason they were to trade you, we're taking pitchforks and torches to the Cubs offices and just kind of we're going to storm the castle. Lawrence owns a pitchfork.
I do.
This is what I didn't
That's
know.
Incredible. You have to as a Chicago sports fan, right? It's just a part of it.
I mean, I have one for my yard, but yes.
You're right. No, pitchforks and torches is a common part of our sports fandom.
Thank you for having my back. That means a lot.
Yeah, dude, we got you. We got you. In fact, when they traded the other guy named Nico, the pitcher named Nico Zeglin, we got scared. Tanny got us good. He texted us and said they traded Nico and then sent us that. But like in the interim, we got very, very scared.
Speaking of which, yeah. Nico, Rinaldi's has been, we do victory chicken. When the
I
Bears
know all about it now, yeah.
Yeah. And so Rinaldi's has hooked us up with the really good chicken strips that they have, and they're putting together flyers for stuff and coming up with images of a victory chicken holding a football. They've really gone all out.
Love that. Yeah, they I know they're well known for their pizzas and everything, but man, those chicken tenders are something serious. That's a party hit for sure. So shouts out Rinaldi's. They go all out. It's great.
Nico, your pizza has been selling very well, and the donation from these past 3 months was just made. $1,236 nice. Has gone. Every 3 months, they do the donation, and the BIG Baseball Academy, because it's bigger than baseball, receives that money directly because of your work with Rinaldi's and that delicious pizza. So congrats on that.
Yeah, it's cool. They do a great job at FBIG. It's obviously hard for kids in cities to find good baseball facilities. So to have a space and a home to host camps and practices and everything else in the winter, and then be able to supply resources and everything to play summer ball, it's a huge deal. From ages from like 6 and up, kids getting a chance to play ball. It's great. People over there.
All right. So one real question. Do you read the trade rumor stuff that we see that freaks us out?
I see most stuff. I mean, things are inevitably sent to me, especially when it's like connected to the Giants. Like people here, obviously get excited about things like that. And it's hard to explain to people that things can both be like, yes, that's not false reporting, but that also doesn't really mean anything. It's like, it's hard to navigate that space, I think. But, yeah, I see stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want that to happen, Nico.
Yeah. No matter the haul, that's really nice.
No, it wouldn't matter.
There's some good players out there. There's some good players out there.
No, there's no prospect haul that's going to make us feel good about that.
Nope.
Nope, it would not
don't
be
like
good.
It. Don't want it. Don't need it.
Don't want it. All right, back to the game last night. Bears need a new stadium. Should they model their stadium after that Niners stadium, that thing in Santa Clara?
I haven't been to many NFL stadiums. I did see the Viking stadium, and that was unbelievable. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I feel like they probably could have been a little more creative with that Santa Clara stadium. My main beef is just that it's not in San Francisco or anywhere close to it. So that's the big thing. And I feel like that matters.
People have no idea how far Santa Clara is from San Francisco. And and on a game day, how much longer it is to get there. It's difficult.
It took me an hour and a half to get home, for sure.
Wow. So you're saying if the Bears make the Super Bowl in Santa Clara – and we need a place to stay.
That's not what he's saying.
Yeah, your house would not be a good choice.
No, it's a great choice. Julia's got a pullout in her office. We got so much room. I've been dominating the Traeger smoker this offseason.
Hell yeah.
It'll be a little party. Yep. Oh, I'm doing prime rib for New Year's Eve. So that's the next thing.
All right,
we're coming.
Yeah. So was that it? If the Bears get to the Super Bowl, can we hang? Can we say
hello? Hang. I'm just telling you, it's not that close. That's the thing. It's the issue.
You got a helicopter
that's the only issue in this picture.
that's it.
The only thing that's keeping it from happening.
Not the fiance cohabitation.
Yeah.
Like
a guy just, wanted to be alone with his fiance/wife. It's a whole thing.
His sports radio friends are coming over, babe.
Yeah. That actually sounds awful.
It sounds
awful. The more
that
you
horrendous.
Say it, the worse it sounds. Nico, we appreciate you, and thank you so much for joining us and being our Bears correspondent. We couldn't think of a better person to have break down the game with us.
It's a treat. It's a treat. Right in the middle of the offseason, get us excited for the Bears and baseball to come. Things are good.
Yeah, man. Like, seriously, that weekend of the Cub convention with the vibes of the convention and a Bears playoff game, let's go, right?
That's all time.
Yeah, that would be an all-timer. Thanks, dude. You're the best. We appreciate you.
All right. Miss you guys. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
DJ, wow. Can you explain what just happened?
A miracle. We practiced it a bunch. We hit it in practice. I saw the look. I said, it's going up to me. Caleb put it on the money. The rest is history.
When did you know it was going to you? What, at
as
what
soon
point?
As we broke the huddle.
Former WNBA star.
Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacey Dales. She joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, guys. I'm juiced. It's week 18, and I mean, here we are. I mean, it's been a long season, but it's crazy to think of how everything has transpired and the way the NFC has gone. And last night's game was, I thought, a perfect indication of how wide open this thing is.
It really is. That was bizarre to see the Falcons beat the Rams after hearing Troy Aikman declare the Rams the best team in the league. And I didn't disagree, but then you watch him and said, can that be the best team in the league? What's wrong with Matthew Stafford? Stacey, I think it's up for grabs. I don't know if the 49ers aren't right now looking like the best team in the NFC, at least based on what we saw Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you pump the brakes when it's, you know, the first half of the NFL season. You just have to be very cautious about who you deem to be the best. I don't think there is a clear-cut leader at this stage, but, you know, I don't disagree with Troy. I mean, you're talking about the number one total offense in football in the Rams. They're top five in a plethora of categories offensively. Where they've, you know, given up some stuff is defensively. They're middle of the pack in terms of total defense. So everybody can be scored on. Anybody can have a great night. And I think you have to go into the playoffs with that mindset. I don't think there is a clear-cut favorite. And it's the first time really in a while that I felt like I was able to say that. You look at the Bears game against San Francisco, and that was an old-fashioned shootout. You go into it if you're Ben Johnson and you say, for the first time in a while, I just can't run the football and control this thing. And so, you know, it's kind of crazy as we get ready for this, and we'll see what happens with, you know, this week in terms of Seattle and the 49ers. If Seattle they will clinch the NFC West and the number one seed with a win or a tie at San Francisco. And conversely, the 49ers clinch the West and a number one seed with a win versus right. Seattle.
Right.
So, yeah. it's going to be very interesting.
We've been arguing, we kind of agreed all morning. The Bears, there's three options for them, and we kind of want the Packers. Maybe that is crazy to feel that way, but I think it would really resonate in Chicago. It would also be the third meeting between the two teams in 6 weeks. I was trying to remember the last time we've seen that happen. Familiarity obviously breeds contempt. And I think there's a lot of contempt felt in Chicago toward the fine folks in Green Bay.
Putting it mildly. I always look at the third game, and it's always puzzling to me as somebody who played in, you know, basketball and in conference play, and you're playing a team for the third time, or when I played professionally, the third time is always hard. Jordan Love's going to be back this week. He's going to be back in the playoffs. I don't know. I think if you're Chicago's defense, what quarterback are you staring down, right? I mean, could it be Matthew Stafford? Could it be Sam Darnold? Could it be Jordan Love? Could it be Brock Purdy? I mean, we'll have to see how things shake out this week, but I don't know if there's a preference. I think you just line it up and play it, and I think that's the approach Ben Johnson is going to take. I love that he said yesterday, we're going to win this thing. They're playing for the number two seed, and that breeds, you know, a greater possibility with more home field opportunity for them, and he's a winner. I don't know if I've seen Ben Johnson lose this much this season, but he's kind of pissy afterwards.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson hates to lose. He's not in the arena of, we'll take a moral victory or we'll be, he was pissed that they lost that game against San Francisco. And that trickles down into your players. It trickles into your locker room. And the standard has changed in Chicago. This guy is all about business, and they're coming out to beat the Lions this week.
Likewise, I think you see that in Caleb Williams, or you hear it. And you see the more the season, the longer it has lasted, the more you have heard from Caleb Williams sounding like what he says is a version of what Ben Johnson said earlier, or the tone is set. And I thought post-game on Sunday, he also was very similar in that. Not that he was snippy or anything like that, like Ben tends to be after losses, but I think that you see that's just an example, Stacey, of that alignment and football marriage between the two guys that is really working very well for the Bears.
Yeah, David, I completely agree with you. Caleb Williams has a thirst to win and to master the system that Ben is giving him. That has been the case for me all season long, for the entirety of it. He has been extremely coachable. He's taken hard criticism. You know, a great documentary would be to follow Caleb around, who's following Ben around, and Declan and the entire staff, and what they've done with him, because he has just been a sponge to learn this stuff. And it's been really cool to watch his transformation. Everybody I talk to, they feel it. We feel it. His appreciation of the offensive line, his appreciation of the run game. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I asked him what he loves most about this offense, and he said the approach to the run game, the dominance on the ground, what they're doing up front, and that's what they have to get back to. Their best defense. And now I love what Dennis Allen has done with what he has. I mean, they create takeaways at an unreal rate. But you know, to run the ball and keep it away from the opposing team is always critical in the NFL. And they didn't win the time of possession battle against the San Francisco 49ers. So, you know, it was kind of interesting if you go back and look at that game. I mean, they were almost neck and neck in terms of offensive plays, but they just couldn't establish the run consistently the way they wanted to, or they have all season, I should say. And I think that's a huge part and huge piece to the puzzle that Ben Johnson has created in Chicago. And I think it really helps the defense. I think it helps Caleb. And I think it's going to be vital, you know, in another inclement weather day here this Sunday.
You know, psychologically, I wonder what is the importance of being able to have a winning record within the division to be a division champion. Does it matter that you beat every team in your division? Is it okay if you don't have a winning record within the division as long as you win it?
I mean, Green Bay made the playoffs last year and didn't beat everybody in the division. So I don't think that, but I think there's a lot of pride in winning out in the division. And I think that these guys take it to heart. And I think when you dominate your division, you take that into the off season more than anything. And now you're competing. Okay, what are we competing against? Like Detroit's very interesting, Molly, because they just don't look like the same team.
Yeah.
Without Ben Johnson, and it's just felt fuzzy in spots without him, and they obviously changed from Johnny Moe to Dan Campbell. They changed play callers at a certain point, and you know, suddenly you see Dan he's not just leaning on, like, he has to do it. He has to make the decisions. I thought Kelvin Shepard did a nice job relatively this season as the defensive coordinator, but Aaron Glenn leaves. Like, you see the attrition when you lose pieces of your staff. And, you know, Chicago at some point will be in the same predicament because, you know, the staff that Ben assembled is outstanding. When you take over a team, and I just covered the Jacksonville Jaguars in Indy, and Liam Cohen, we all wondered what's going to go on with him and Duval. And, you know, first year head coaches, we'll see how they do in 3 years from now. But you just get the sense like Ben is going to have this thing pretty rock solid because of his approach, because of his plan, and just kind of the way he is. He's a special guy.
Stacy, I think that I saw those interviews in Indianapolis with Jaguars players and also Liam Cohen. I was struck by just how quickly you establish a rapport. I'm sure that there's a relationship there, but in relation to Cohen, in relation to Ben Johnson, you look at what Kyle Shanahan has done in San Francisco and also Mike Vrabel in New England. I think those are the four guys you hear most often mentioned as coach of the year. Each challenge was different, which I think makes each guy's task unique. But do you think that there's a clear-cut favorite for the coach of the year this season?
It's a hard question to answer right now because I need to see how they do in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, you know, Jacksonville doesn't feel respected. They just don't. I interviewed Liam Cohen. And afterwards, like, so I get a minute for those. So I, you know, typically they keep talking. I love it when people open up and, you know, I have to kind of cut it off after about a minute 15 to a minute 30 for the show purposes. And I could have talked to him for 30 minutes. And after the interview, he left me with I hate not following up in an interview, but he left me with, we're using motivation basically on the outside. And so the interview ends. I'm like, shoot, I can't follow up with him. So I said, well, what's the motivation? And he looked at me and he goes, we have one Pro Bowler with an 11-win team. Now they won, so they're 12 wins. And he's like, he rolls his eye, like he's just, you know, it pisses him off. And they don't feel respected. I'm sure Ben Johnson doesn't feel respected. Mike Vrabel has turned it around, although he walked into a situation with, you know, totally different because he played there. I mean, he's in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Like, to me, it's Liam or it's Ben. And Mike McDonald's done a great job with Sam Darnold in his first year, but he's been in the league forever. I mean, I think when you look at the quarterback play, so I'll just leave it with this. You look at Trevor Lawrence, he's playing the most efficient that he ever has at the quarterback position. And Liam told me in our interview, they went into the bye week 8, and they did a deep dive into Trevor Lawrence. What is he good at? What do we need to do to facilitate that more? And what does he need to improve at, not just this year, but next year and the year after, like a long-term plan? That's what they did in their bye week. You could argue that the Chicago Bears did the same thing in their bye week. Both teams are running the ball. Caleb is playing the most efficiently that he has. So I look at the quarterback play as a direct correlation of the head coach that is also the play caller in both of these cases. And so to me, it's one of the two of those guys.
Stacey, as I sit here and think about the Bears' first meeting with Detroit up in Detroit and the way the crowd reacted to Ben Johnson and the way some of the Lions players responded as well, I just wonder if that sticks in his craw in any way. He's a hyper-competitive guy. And I wonder when you think about the difference in the Bears from week 2 to this, the end of the season, how that will all come into play in terms of, you know, I was saying this, I think Ben Johnson probably knew the Lions and their talent a lot more than the Bears and theirs at that point in the season. But that's probably shifted quite a bit.
Do you remember what the score was in that game, guys?
Yeah.
52-21,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bad.
Oh boy, yeah.
Really bad.
But they gave up 48 points last week.
Yeah.
42, this whatever.
This is an entirely different Bears team. I can't even, like, look back to September the 14th and consider it even, you can't even go, like, if Chicago goes back and watches the tape, maybe they should burn the tape.
Ceremony. Have a ceremony.
You're not the same team. Like, you heard Ben yesterday, fellas. Like, he's talked about how this team has transformed under his tutelage. He has talked about now that he can do some of the stuff that he wants to do within this offense. You got to give a lot of credit and how players have come in and they've taken the game plan. He said this vividly yesterday. They've taken the game plan and they're starting to play around with it. You know, what's interesting about the way the 49ers game ended is he took account for, I didn't get the play in fast enough, right?
Right.
In a couple of years, Caleb's going to take over that 2-minute drill to where Ben and him are so on the same page that Caleb is going to be able to dictate what happens at the line of scrimmage right away. That's what Bears fans have to look forward to. That's what they are in store for. Caleb is going to be the one that, okay, we're 2-minute on the road against San Francisco. I know what Ben wants. He knows what I want. And now I can go dictate at the line of scrimmage quickly, decisively. And that's what you see with somebody like Matthew Stafford. I think Sam Darnold's been around long enough. That's the luxury you have with time on task in the NFL. And Caleb is going to get there because he and Ben are going to continue to grow. And those moments are going to be few and far between where we've already seen his brilliance. Like, for Kyle Shanahan to come out and say how special Caleb Williams is when it comes to throwing the football and making just incredible throws on the move in this league, Like, he's got the arm, he's got the coach, and now he's going, his brain is going to be fast forwarding in the offseason. I bet he's probably going to go back and watch. Maybe Caleb has. Maybe he's gone back and looked at week two against Detroit and says, oh my God, look at the opportunities that I have at this stage, week 18 versus week two.
Great stuff, Stacey. Great job in Indy. Keep up the good work and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Stacey. That's great stuff. We'll be right back with the Northwestern head coach, David Braun. Molly and Haw on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen. Man from Glen Ellen, Illinois. He's very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
Like I said, I call my O-lineman the Avengers.
Okay. When we come back, we'll add to our Avengers. Bucky is a good call for Matt Bowen.
Mm.
Because super soldier, right?
Yeah.
You know?
So why Bucky and not Captain America?
Because Matt's a little grimier.
Okay.
I mean, you know, like he's a grimier guy.
Right.
I mean, he played for Greg Williams. So
yeah. So that's a very good answer.
That could be his years in Hydra.
Kill the head, the body will die. We want his head sideways.
Avengers!
Assemble.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love it when we get a chance to talk with Matt Bowen about football. And I know that he's been watching a ton of tape on that incredible game that was played between the Bears and the 49ers. So we're going to talk to him about that. This segment with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. When you watch that game, Matt, when you watch the prolific offenses that we saw on both sides, what stood out to you?
Well, I think it's the combination of offensive play caller, Ben Johnson, Kyle Shanahan, and the ability of the quarterbacks to execute the scheme. Right now, obviously, Caleb did make some plays outside of structure, so did Brock Purdy. We saw it with both quarterbacks. But really, their ability to throw with timing, throw with rhythm, execute the scheme. And how many scheme throws did we see in that game that led to big plays down the field? Like, I did just start with, I put this on social media yesterday with Brock Purdy. What he did in the middle of the field. And Lawrence, you and I talked about this last week on the show. If you're going to limit Kyle Shanahan, especially if you play zone coverage, you have to close those middle of the field windows. And middle of the field throws, so that means the ball is between the numbers, right? Purdy was 17 of 22 for 230 yards. That's where they go with the football. And the Bears really struggled in those situations.
I'm laughing at the numbers, Matt. I'm sorry. Keep going. That's ridiculous. Oh,
okay. Yeah. And look, Speaks against zone. He was 15 of 18 passing. So they had answers. They had answers for Dennis Allen. They did play a lot of zone in that football game. Not that they didn't play man coverage as well. They did. But Kyle Shanahan, historically, when you watch his offenses, a lot of misdirection, a lot of pre- and post-snap movement, a lot of play action, and the ball goes between the numbers. That's what they want to throw because it gives the quarterback a stronger sense of rhythm. You know, go late in the game, the touchdown throw to Jennings. All that is, guys, is a simple high-low read. You have a tight end run a sit route to hold Edwards, right? He's the middle linebacker. You force him to sit and slow his feet, and you run the in-breaker behind him. That's where the window is. That ball is thrown on time. It was an upfield shoulder to throw, so there's location with this throw also. And then it's a situation of beating safety one-on-one in the open field. You know, from the Bears' perspective, look at the touchdown throw to Burden. That is, that route's been around forever. I call it cross-country dagger. And what it is a deep over or deep post to clear or hold the safety. You have the in-breaker behind it. Now, Ben Johnson added the tight end underneath to try to hold the backside safety, but that's an alert for Caleb Williams. The way I was taught to read the route is you throw the deep in-breaker, right? You want to clear and replace. But when you have the alert over the top and you have the arm talent of Caleb Williams, you take your shot down the field. And really, I thought both quarterbacks put on a show. You're a Sunday night game in front of a national audience. They put on a show. And defensively, neither team did.
Love hearing you talk about Caleb doing some of the things that you saw. Because you're talking about stuff in structure, you're talking about stuff to create big plays down the field. Some of the things we've been waiting for him to do, he stayed in the pocket and took a hit on that Burden touchdown as well. So tell us more about what you saw from Caleb. Like, did you see runner's balls? Did you see, you know, there was some inaccuracy, but there was a lot of accuracy. There was a lot of good balls in that game from him.
There was. And I don't know how you can watch Caleb Williams right now and not see that he's developing. I mean, everyone has to see it, right? So if you don't see that, then you just don't want to believe it because he is being coached right now. Go back to the tape of the games earlier in the season and watch him compared to now. He is a different player. He is growing. He is showing that developmental arc at the position. If you were writing a scouting report on Caleb Williams, you'd say the arrow is pointing up. Because he's improving every week, and that doesn't mean he's going to be perfect. He's still going to have misses. He had a couple misses in that game. There's still mechanical issues he can get stronger at, but there's no question he is developing, and that's because of the coach you hired. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know who watched the Lions game on Christmas, but you can't tell me that Jared Goff is an impact by not having Ben Johnson there anymore.
It's true.
Very easy to see.
And when we're,
you know, and I think, go ahead, Lawrence.
And I think we're going to see it, you know, this week. And I expect them to play hard. Like, that is something I still expect the Lions to do coming into this game. But I was hoping you can go more in depth on something that you said earlier. Like, the idea of when you see, like, a too high coverage, you can go, oh, yeah, like, the middle's going to be vacated. There's your throw. But because Caleb's got this crazy arm talent, it opens up a little bit more on that play. What does it do for the playbook when you now know that there is a quarterback that can make some throws that other quarterbacks can't?
It opens up every level of the field. That's what it does. It opens up every level of the field like it does for Mahomes, like it does for Josh Allen, like it does for Justin Herbert. Because those are the quarterbacks he's compared to now in terms of arm talent or arm strength. I think he's in that grouping. You can't watch the tape right now or watch the game and not agree to that his arm is different and he can make any throw you want him to make.
So what that does from an offensive play call perspective is he can be more aggressive down the field. You know that late in the down, he can still make those plays. Not every quarterback can do that, especially with Caleb. He could do it on the move as well. So it opens up a lot of things from a play calling perspective and also from a playmaking perspective. Now flip that over, Lawrence, to a defensive coach's mentality and how you have to coach differently at times. Maybe you have to start a cover two at 18 yards instead of 15 yards. And you have to know that when he gets outside the pocket, the play is not over. It's just starting from a defensive mentality. So now you have to plaster down the field and adjust your coverage. Puts a lot of stress on the top of your defense.
Matt, I wonder if you personally enjoy football games like that. Like, I know you like the X's and O's, but
that the defensive guy is cringing as he's watching all of this go on.
The guy who loves to see high-level defensive execution and some good tackle. Do you enjoy watching a game like that?
I do. I'll give you an example. Everyone watched football this past weekend. Would you rather watch Bears-Niners or what you saw with Pittsburgh and Cleveland?
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Right. And obviously the execution on offense is very poor in that Pittsburgh game. But do I like to see more defense? Sure. But look, even as poorly as the Bears played at times on defense, and look, I'll tell you right now, they did not tackle well, especially in the secondary. That needs to be addressed. If I'm Dennis Allen this week, we need to talk about angles to the football and tackling because it wasn't good enough. But they made a splash play to start the football game.
But
you know, look how that defense can still take the ball away and make high-impact plays. There's no question they have to get better because when you get into January football, you're not going to be able to give up 42.
All right, so tell us more about what they didn't do well, because they needed another turnover or two to win a game. They win a game like that. And Byard after the game said we didn't do some individual things well. You just kind of referred to it, but what did you see not happening by those players?
Okay, the first is in the secondary cutting off the ball. So I always use the term cutoff angle. And we've talked about this before. That you have to set an edge to your defense every time. And, you know, normally when you think about setting an edge, everyone thinks about the defensive ends, right? Well, that's the interior edge. You have to set a perimeter edge also. And you look at some of McCaffrey's plays in that game, one of his explosive runs, because the corner didn't come down to set the edge. Took a poor angle to the football. You can never allow the ball to get outside you. It sounds very basic, right? It sounds like we're talking about junior high football, but that's what it is. Down the goal line, when you have, and I see this too often in the NFL, it's really starting to bother me right now. When you're a corner and you are unblocked, and I use the term a crack block, right? And they crack inside or a safety or a linebacker, you have to replace as a corner. Now you have to set the edge. But corners take this downhill outside angle instead of a 45-degree angle. When you take that outside angle, one, you're giving up one for one versus the lead block. You're giving up one for one. That's a minus because you're not defeating the block. But also you're expanding the running lane. I see it every Sunday. And, man, it really bothers me because you have to teach that if you're a secondary coach, to squeeze or restrict that running lane. Yes, you can't cut block anymore, or cut tackle versus the lead blocker, but I never, would never teach that anyways because you're giving up one for one. You can still play with leverage. You can still get your pads down and restrict that running lane, and you get better at that. And also, at the second level, it's hard against Kyle Shanahan, guys. There's so much pre and post snap movement, and it forces some hesitation. You don't see second-level linebackers and safeties playing at the same speed because there is so much to process against that offense. And look, we can say the same thing against with Ben Johnson's offense. Go back to the Philly game, what they did. We saw the same result.
When we look at the Bears defense and trying to figure out ways to help them, how much do you put on the Bears defense versus what Kyle Shanahan did to them? Because I've been trying to figure out what I'm more encouraged or discouraged by.
Well, I think you have to understand that Kyle Shanahan's going to win some plays every week, right? You have to understand that as a defensive coach. But can you get the same amount of wins, or can you get a couple more wins to even it out? And I think that's what you have to do if you're Dennis Allen. Right now, you're not getting home to the quarterback. You're just not with your front four. They're not getting home. So what do you have to do? Do you have to stunt more? Do you have to show some different fronts? Do you have to play more five-man fronts? Do you have to bring more pressure? From my perspective, it would be pressure. That would be my first answer, to try to heat up Brock Purdy and force the ball to come out a little quicker, play more man coverage in the secondary. But that would be one of those answers. And that's what you have to have against Kyle Shanahan, because you can't let him dictate the flow of the football game.
Boy, I wonder, Matt, if he was scared by what had happened at the hands of Jordan Love with, you know, when there was pressure and he ended up in man, if he just wanted to keep people back. Like, I'm sure that that kind of thing can happen in a defensive coordinator's mind.
And on paper, you have one of the best man coverers on your defense, but he's not himself right now. So, like, when you're trying to figure it out and say, well, yeah, let's go man because I got Jalen Johnson.
I got Jalen back.
But this version of Jalen is not the same version that we've seen on film before.
Right, and that could be part of it. And also, you know, Pearsall is a very good route runner. Jennings is a very underrated route runner, very similar to a Jacoby Myers in his play style. Physical player, can work the middle of the field. But also, when you don't have Kittle on the field, that's where we would have played a little bit more man, right? But, you know, on the flip side of that, though, if you're going to play man, who's your matchup for Christian McCaffrey? You know, there's always ways to counter this, and I always use the term, you know, the last person holding the chalk usually wins, right? When you're having a football discussion. Because they'll have the last answer, right? But from my perspective, I would have been a little bit more aggressive.
The last person on the, I love that. We're with Matt Bowen here on Spiegel and Holmes. Yeah, I mean, look, Matt, they're fifth worst against the run. Are the Bears fifth worst in total yards, but fifth worst against the run? Kind of freaks me out, and I feel like I saw T.J. Edwards guessing wrong all night. But I don't know if I'm supposed to. When I look at those numbers and I look at the running success against them, should I be looking at the defensive line not being stout enough, or should I be looking at the linebackers who I like and admire not making enough plays in the run game?
I think it's at Baltimore, you have to include the safeties and the corners too. I mean, if you're going to play good run defense, it's all 11. And look, we saw it 2 weeks ago with Green Bay. And Green Bay didn't have a lot of explosive runs, but they were methodical with the football and moving the Bears off the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it starts. Can you win at the point of attack? Can you create penetration, the A and B gaps? Do you have edge setters in your interior and on the perimeter? And can your safeties play downhill in the alley and tackle? And that's why I went back to tackle. I don't think they tackle well. I just really don't. And that's the first thing. The best defenses at any level, they tackle extremely well. And the Bears did not tackle well the other night. That's why I'd start there. But also front, you're going to have to try some different things. If you can't just line up in a four-man front and stop the run, you have to be different. You have to use different fronts. You have to use early down run pressure. There's things you can do in terms of answers, but you got to get it corrected because you don't want to go into the playoffs and have a team control possession and keep Caleb Williams off the football field in January.
Usually we end up talking draft a lot earlier in the season than we have this year, but put on your draft analyst team builder hat. What position does this defense need?
Edge rushers. I mean, that's the difference. Look what Green Bay did, and I know Parsons is out now, but the move they made to get an elite pass rusher. It's pass rushers. You got to have them. If I'm building the football team right now and defense is the first place I start, and then I go to corner. But it's pass rusher first.
Let's go back to last year's draft. And I know that we've talked about Luther Burden a couple of times with you. But I don't know if I was expecting him to be this quickly. Like, I expected him to be this. But I didn't expect him to be this quickly. When you compare all of your draft work that you did on him to how he's being used, how have we gotten here as quickly as we've gotten here?
Well, I'll say the first thing, Lawrence, I'll say about Burden, which I love as a former player, is when you get an opportunity like this, when there is an injury, you're going to get more playing time. And also DJ Moore was, you know, working through an illness. That's how you take advantage of that opportunity, right? You talk about putting yourself front and center on the national stage, and when you're seeing an increase in target volume, and to go out and make plays like that, that shows me, one, you're ready for the moment, and also you're prepared for the moment. So that should be a lot of credit to Luther going into that football game. In terms of his traits and what he does, I said from the beginning, this is a great offense for him to be in because Ben Johnson will utilize him as a three-level playmaker. That's what he is. I know he plays receiver, but he is a playmaker. There are multiple ways to get the football in his hands, and like everyone saw on Sunday night, yes, he can stretch you vertically down the field, but look what he can do after the catch. He is absolutely electric with the football in his hands.
With Ben Johnson, we know that he was really rough on Caleb Williams in camp. And then we got the anecdote from Collinsworth on Sunday about how rough, where 26-word play call comes in, Caleb doesn't quite get it. And Ben's like, nah, you're on your own. Go out and make the play. His way of teaching this offense with, it seems like he's truly matched up the way that he wants it done with the personality of a competitive player and challenging him in a way that makes him better instead of making him fold.
I agree with that. And this goes back to Ben Johnson's opening press conference when he took the job. And look, we hear these press conferences every year with new coaches. But remember when he said that he was going to make, basically I'm paraphrasing here, but make his players uncomfortable?
Yeah. He said get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes, exactly what he said. And that's what he's doing in terms of his coaching style. It's not, and some players don't accept it and they fail. But the ones who want to be coached, that's the thing. Do you want to be coached? The great ones want to be coached. They want to be challenged every day. They want to be held accountable every day as a professional athlete. And Caleb Williams is showing that right now. I've been around coaches that are very hard, and not just at me, at other players in the football team. Some guys can accept it. Some guys can't. The ones that can't, they don't make it in that league.
Man, it's so obvious. It's so obvious that Caleb wanted hard coaching and is taking to it with a guy he trusts. Like, he trusts him and he believes in him. As you say that, I'm thinking about the times that I've heard Ben say that Ryan Poles deserves credit for putting the people together that he has. There haven't been many people who've not taken to Ben's version of hard coaching, are there, that we've heard about?
No, not at all. Because I think that, to your point, speaks the trust he has in the locker room. That means everything. I've said it before, trust and respect. That's what you need. You want to have a great player-coach relationship, you need those two things at the start. Because once you have that, then you can coach hard. And then you know as a coach when to pull back. You know, it's a two-way street there. But there's a natural relationship that leads to potential, leads to growth on the football field. And you can't do anything without those two.
Matt, we have a texter who says, sometimes I think Matt Bowen's great mind should be in the NFL, but I'm really glad he's impacting the lives of high schoolers. How about that?
Well, that was very nice.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Not just the ears of our listeners, but the lives of high schoolers. Speaking of that great mind, that was a catch last night,
it
Matt,
was
right?
Not a catch.
Puka Nacua. That's a give that
it
man that
It was a great
catch.
Play by the DB.
It floats in the air for a split second, but he still comes down with it and never hits the ground, Matt. Come on.
I know. Some of these rules, and I'll say this, because most of the rules are designed for the offense to score points now, right? Very hard to play defense in the NFL these days. But in that situation, it goes back to everything. I go back to when, you guys remember the game, the Calvin Johnson play versus the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's sometimes you look at this game and you say, what are we doing? And I think that's one of those situations last night where he said, look, I know what the rule says, but how can it not be a catch?
Thank you.
Yeah, but.
Thank you.
But you would have wanted that call if you were the DB.
I guess I would have.
Because that, the slow-mo of it, of him pulling his hand away from the ball, is amazing.
Everybody involved is an absurd level of athleticism.
You're right. The throw.
All of it.
Like, it was beautiful play.
Yeah, it was great stuff.
It was incomplete.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, the one thing I'll say, though, about that game last night, that shows you that I think this playoffs is going to be one of the most unpredictable we've seen in a long time. You know, that Atlanta team is playing for nothing, and the Rams are playing for a lot. And look what happened in that football game. Obviously, LA came back and had a chance to tie it late in the football game, but
yeah,
tell me who the favorite is right now.
Yeah.
The one Super Bowl. I don't know who it is.
I don't know who it is either, but San Francisco living at home for the next month seems pretty scary to me.
They do, but my point of all this is that if the Bears are healthy, they can make a run in this thing. I don't know what that means, but they have just as much a chance as everyone else to win football games in January.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Let's go.
On that. Matt, as always, we appreciate the time and the education, sir.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, Happy New Year. Matt Bowen and his family right there. Happy New Year to them. Matt Bowen's family was not on the line, just to clarify.
But they're there in support.
They're implied.
Yeah.
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 It doesn't exist.
Merry New Year!
That's exactly right. Man!
Good time to watch that movie. And sure, there's some unfortunate blackface in it. But I think that we, like with Robert Downey Jr., we have given Dan Aykroyd a pass because the performance was so brilliant.
Yeah, you know, it's another topic for another time. I feel like the Robert Downey blackface like was the last one where like it was kind of you can't do it no matter what.
No.
That one was like there was a levels of self-consciousness and self-awareness and all of that.
And for the most part, the community was like, have no problem because of how layered the concept
exactly,
of it was.
Exactly. So, but you can't even do that anymore.
But the Dan Aykroyd one in Trading Places, it's because we love that movie so much.
Sure.
Because, I mean, that was straight up like grease paint.
Well,
he didn't even do his neck. Like there's a lot going on, but the movie's so damn
movie's
good.
So
you're
damn
like,
good.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna ignore the fake dreadlocks and the shoe polish that Dan Aykroyd is wearing.
You watch Blazing Saddles lately?
Love that movie.
See, it still works, but I had to do some explaining on some words.
That's also
to the Roobster.
High concept.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes, there are layers to that. Richard Pryor was a co-writer on that thing.
High concept stuff that's going on.
He
there.
Was supposed to play the Cleavon Little role.
Yes,
but he did not. But he's a co-writer on that thing. He and Mel Brooks did it together.
Yeah, and then you're like, yeah, this is. They're making a lot of statements, which Mel Brooks did quite a bit in movies.
I remember one time on this show I referred to, there's a lot of N-words in Blazing Saddles. And what I meant was the words themselves, but it
sounds terrible.
It sounded terrible.
It sounded terrible just then.
Just now. It also sounded terrible. Let's go to break.
Nah, living it.
No,
I'm just messing with you.
Come on, I'm just over here watching the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Coastal something.
Coastal Carolina versus Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, that's right. It's 20-14, Louisiana Tech. They're playing a bowl game like they always do in the middle of a weekday afternoon.
Well, it's bowl weeks. You got these. I mean,
you gotta fit them in, baby.
I want to say Illinois, they're getting ready to start, or they've already started that game down in Nashville against Tennessee. I have to put it up on one of the monitors here.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of college football, there was a very interesting hire in college football today.
It is some kind of special risk, and the head coach was on our air this morning to talk about
it. So let's talk about this, because I think it completely changes the way that one should think about this particular program. That's next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.